You're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, broadcasting from Raleigh, North Carolina, serving the blind and print-impaired community since 1983. This is Nancy Jones. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from the April 2023 issue of Vanity Fair magazine. This is Vanity Fair, Part A. Here's this month's cover story, Wild at Heart. After the split that rocked the world, supermodel Gisele Bündchen is super ready for what comes next. And she's got some big ideas for what that will be, by Michelle Ruiz. Photographs by Lachlan Bailey, styled by George Cortina. Golden Hour, Gisele Bündchen photographed in Florida in January. If Gisele Bündchen is a witch, she's a good witch. The supermodel is conjuring her mystical, much tick-tocked about powers at 7:30 on a recent Friday morning in her bedroom, a minimalist casita in the shadow of her towering main house, perched high among the dense palm treetops of Costa Rica's Nicoya Peninsula, where she is cupping a wounded bird. Bündchen has just discovered the unmoving robin, nestled on a white couch on her terrace, a serendipitous landing place with a panoramic vista of the beach below. Looking bereft, she scoops the bird up with the ease of a Disney princess, taking care with its mangled claw. "Are you okay?" Bündchen coos to the bird, her throaty voice softening to a whisper. She is stroking its tiny head with an elegant, unpolished index finger, performing a little Reiki, as she says, referring to the holistic practice of transferring healing energy through touch. She does the same to her kids, Benjamin Ryan, 13, and Vivian Lake, 10, all the time. "He has a little poo-poo," Bündchen notes in her distinctive accent. The robin has soiled one of Bündchen's pristine cushions, but she is unbothered, consumed by its fate. She later spot-cleans the bird's poo-poo herself. She calls her home's caretaker, Victor, hoping he'll rush it to a local animal sanctuary and drips water into its beak from an incense holder turned makeshift bird feeder. "I'm afraid that he's going to die if he stays like this," she says. Just then, the bird flinches. "Maybe he's going to fly," Bündchen whispers. Bündchen explains that she regularly communes with birds, squirrels, and butterflies. She is surrounded by what she calls Costa Rica's symphony of nature, chirping insects, squawking parrots, and the lion-like roars of locally renowned howler monkeys, brought closer by a fully retractable fourth wall of her hideaway. She begins to describe the splendor. "I found this hummingbird by the ocean one day when I was walking with the dogs." Suddenly, the robin claps its wings and banks from Bündchen's hands, soaring out over the hilltop. We are astounded. Either its rumpled foot miraculously healed, or Bündchen really is a witch. "A witch of love," she offers. "It's an omen," she declares, her eyes wide. We analyze the bird's swift recovery, melodramatically searching for meaning, right down to its droppings. "He needed to release," Bündchen laughs. But a broken bird flying free at this particular moment in Bündchen's life can't help but be its own metaphor. "I don't want to be limited," Bündchen told me in one of our many intimate conversations over 2 days at her compound. "I want to spread my wings and fly." Let's get it over with. Off duty, 42-year-old Bündchen is giving mythic goddess, the godmother of the beach waves' hair flows in its natural state. Her makeup-free skin is a preternatural NARS Laguna bronze. She wears a chestnut-brown bandeau bikini top and high-waisted jean cutoffs. She dons only crop tops or bikinis while I'm there, because shirts and surnames are superfluous when you're Giselle. Her stature might be intimidating if she didn't also possess a boundless golden retriever-like energy. As most sentient beings know, Bunchen is emerging from a long and productive union to once again former NFL quarterback Tom Brady. God or pariah, you pick. The super couple finalized their divorce last October after a slow burn of headlines that intermixed the fate of their marriage with that of his career. There was Brady's long-anticipated retirement in February 2022, of which Bunchen had seemed in favor. His un-retirement 40 days later, his 11-day absence from Tampa Bay Buccaneers training camp to address personal things, the hiring of attorneys, and, after a garish but brief divorce watch, the droppings of the other shoe. Nearly identical statements vowing to be amicable co-parents and professing gratitude for their time together. By the time Brady retired, or rather re-retired, in February, the pair had consciously uncoupled. Their glittering union seemed prom perfect, swanning through the Met Gala 11 times, once, famously, in coordinating Versace, embracing amid the hoopla of Brady's Super Bowl wins, kissing at sunset in this very house where they held their second wedding in 2009, following a Catholic ceremony in Santa Monica, after which Brady grilled steaks for dinner. And as theirs was a split of Jolie Pitchin and Pitt Anastonian proportions, the feeding frenzy was part parasocial projection, part gender discourse. If Giselle and Tom can't make it, what about the rest of us? Can two alphas at the apex of their careers coexist in a marriage? Must the female partner in a cishet partnership, no matter how successful she is, always assume the lion's share of child care? Or maybe it was schadenfreude. Around 2.5 months have passed since the announcement, by the time she picks me up at my hotel in Costa Rica on an ATV in a taupe sports bra, matching short shorts and rainbow flip-flops. A blue and white linen scarf is looped around her head and face, not for privacy. She is treated as a local by the locals, if not the tourist, but to combat the clouds of dust kicked up on unpaved roads. She offers me a matching scarf, and we rev uphill. Only 2.5 months, after 13 years, and Bunchen's emotions are still palpably raw. It's like a death and a rebirth, she tells me. She is sitting cross-legged in the living room of the main house, an open-air temple in the sky that could be the lobby of Amanyara. The gated compound, complete with a pickleball court, a yoga palapa and a chicken habitat, where the family gets its eggs and recycles its scraps, overlooks a sleek pool, and beyond that, endless ocean. Losing a partner to divorce is often likened to a death. Bunchen is mourning the death of my dream, she says. It's tough, because you imagine your life was going to be a certain way, and you did everything you could, you know. At this, her voice breaks. She apologizes, pressing her fingertips into her eyes, which rim pink and watery. After several yogic inhale-exhales, Bunchen resumes, I believed in fairy tales when I was a kid. I think it's beautiful to believe in that. I mean, I'm so grateful I did. You give everything you got to achieve your dream, she adds. You give 100% of yourself. And it's heartbreaking when it doesn't end up the way you hoped for and worked for, but you can only do your part. Bunchen's meritable contributions have been well documented. For most of our partnership with Brady, The woman, who was long the highest paid model in the world, scaled back her career in favor of his. She stopped walking the runway in 2015, and a few years later moved from her longtime home of Boston to Florida. When we moved to Tampa, I actually had never been there before, Bunchen tells me. I just arrived, and that was my life. The initial decision to focus her considerable energy on wifedom and motherhood was entirely Bunchen's. When I met Tom, I was 26 years old, and I wanted a family. I felt so ready, she says. She'd been working relentlessly, up to 350 days a year, since she was discovered at a Sao Paulo mall at age 13. In December 2006, a year after she broke up with Leonardo DiCaprio, Bunchen and Brady were set up on a blind date by their mutual friend Ed Razek, the former CMO of Victoria's Secret's parent company and much criticized mastermind of its angels. The minute Bunchen laid eyes on Brady at West Village Wine Bar Turks and Frogs, I knew right away, she told This Magazine in 2009. Smack in the middle of the couple's honeymoon phase, and one day before the news broke publicly, Brady informed Bunchen that his ex-girlfriend, actor Bridget Moynihan, was pregnant. Some, many, women might have bolted. Bunchen, indeed, considered bowing out. Looking back, it was a challenging situation for all of us, she says. Instead, when Brady and Moynihan's son, Jack, was born in 2007, Bunchen embraced him as her bonus child. Jack, now 15, accelerated Bunchen's and Brady's plan for a family. Jack came into our lives, and I felt so blessed, and it kind of awakened in me this desire of being a mom, Bunchen says. I've always dreamed of being a mom, but I think that happened a little faster than I thought, because now I have this beautiful little angel that I get to care for and love. Benjamin and Vivian were born via water birth at home in Boston, which Brady initially opposed, but Bunchen insisted on, in 2009 and 2012, respectively. My world was them, Bunchen says. Do you know how grateful I am that I got that time for myself? I breastfed my kids until they were almost 2 years old. I was taking them to school every day. I was making them breakfast, lunch. I was there. But Bunchen was never your typical WAG. Even after going to the Valley, her apt name for the mom-dominant phase of her career, her modeling millions, thanks to contracts with Pantene, Dior, Chanel, and others, reportedly surpassed Brady's NFL salary for most of their marriage. His new Fox Sports broadcast contract is rumored to be worth up to $375 million. In pursuit of extracurricular business ventures, Brady, and to a lesser extent, Bunchen, shot advertisements for and invested millions in Sam Bankman-Fried's recently collapsed cryptocurrency exchange, FTX, where Bunchen assumed the title of environmental and social initiatives head. I was blindsided, Bunchen tells me. I'm no different than everyone else that trusted the hype. She says she is legally unable to discuss specifics, but says she had believed FTX to be a sound and great thing based on what my financial advisors told me. It's just terrible, Bunchen adds. I'm so sorry for all of us that this has happened, and I just pray that justice gets made. Despite her earning power, Bunchen reasoned that her job was more flexible than Brady's. Like so many women and mothers, she surrendered a bit of herself. I wanted to build the best possible relationship with Tom, Jack, and our children, she wrote in her 2018 memoir, Lessons, My Path to a Meaningful Life. I'm also a peacemaker who likes making everything better, easier, and more harmonious for the people I love. For a long time, that was Bunchen's M.O., she tells me now, two freshly plucked baby coconuts speared with metal straws, hers largely untouched, sitting on the table before us. As their children got older, her aspirations bubbled. "Vivi, my baby, is 10, and she's very independent," Bunchen says. "I have dreams," she clarifies. "I have my own dreams." She wants her children to see her pursue them. You want to show them that, in life, you have to find real fulfillment, not living something that you're not. Brady continued collecting championship rings, even as he became practically geriatric in pro football. Particularly after Brady leapt to Tampa in 2020, the issue seemed to snowball. "My wife has held down the house for a long time now, and I think there's things that she wants to accomplish," Brady shared on his Let's Go podcast in October 2021. Around the same time, in a YouTube video answering fan questions, including if Brady could play until age 50, he yucked it up with teammate Rob Gronkowski, who added, "Will Giselle let Tom play till 50? When their marriage officially ruptured last year, the media and the public assumed the timeline and its causation, that the marriage ended after Brady U-turned out of retirement. But marriages aren't built or broken overnight, Bunchen says now. That takes years to happen. Headlines cast Bunchen as a sidelined shrew, with a prevailing explanation centering on a supposed ultimatum. If his career continued, their marriage would not. The only problem is that, according to Bunchen, no such thing ever happened. She calls those characterizations very hurtful and the craziest thing I've ever heard. Listen, I have always cheered for him, and I would continue forever, Bunchen insists, her voice thick with emotion. If there's one person I want to be the happiest in the world, it's him, believe me. I want him to achieve and to conquer. I want all his dreams to come true. That's what I want, really, from the bottom of my heart. With Jack, Benjamin, and Vivian, Bunchen had been omnipresent at Brady's games. "Yet the tabloids made me somebody who was against football," she said of the headlines. "Are you kidding me? I learned about it. I used to joke that I was going to be able to be the ref because I've watched so many games. And I loved it." The winking conspiracy about Bunchen's magical powers escalated when Brady divulged in 2019 that Bunchen built him pregame altars and gifted him special healing stones. She confirms that she drew homeopathic floral baths for Brady. "Whenever he was going through difficult times, you know, he has a lot of intensity to help him calm his nerves," and gave him onyx, a stone of protection, and a statue of the Hindu deity Ganesha, the remover of obstacles. When I ask Bunchen if there were stories written about their split that simply weren't true, she flatly replies everything. "Like, I would give up my dream because of," Bunchen trails off. "One more season," I attempt to fill in. "Wow, people really made it about that," she says. "What's been said is one piece of a much bigger puzzle," Bunchen tells me later. "It's not so black and white." Bunchen also dismisses digital murmurs that politics, namely the MAGA hat spotted in Brady's locker in 2015, drove a wedge. "Never," she tells me. I don't believe that she or anyone else can summarize the unraveling of a 13-year marriage to a relative stranger in a couple of hours over fresh coconut water. What Bunchen does indicate is a gradual drift between her and Brady, one that predates the retirement saga of the past year. "Sometimes you grow together, sometimes you grow apart," she says. "When I was 26 years old and he was 29 years old, we met, we wanted a family, we wanted things together. As time goes by, we realize that we just wanted different things, and now we have a choice to make. That doesn't mean you don't love the person. It just means that in order for you to be authentic and truly live the life that you want to live, you have to have somebody who can meet you in the middle, right? It's a dance. It's a balance. When you love someone, You don't put them in a jail and say, you have to live this life. You set them free to be who they are. And if you want to fly the same direction, then that's amazing. The life Bunchen wants to lead, la pura vida, or the simple life, would ideally be based full-time in Costa Rica. My dream was to raise my kids here, Bunchen tells me. I didn't get to be here as much as I'd like, but now I'm bringing them more often. Both are partially homeschooled. Bunchen has a village of local friends and neighbors. On Friday nights, they make gluten-free pizzas in her outdoor oven, then circle the fire pit holding sticks and sharing stories. A recent night's topic, courage. Bunchen plays pickleball with Benjamin, Benny, and every other day rides horses with names like Pinta and Alcancia, piggy bank. Through the countryside with Vivi, I joined them on their afternoon ride to the beach, clumsily plodding through muddy streams, ducking under dangling palm fronds, and chasing the setting sun so Vivi can gallop along the shore. If I never went to another city again, Bunchen says, I'd be perfectly happy. Bunchen is building a tiny solar-powered house in the mountains. The casita is practice, where she hopes to grow all of her own food. She's considering opening a wellness center nearby, not a far cry from the way she's long introduced loved ones to juicing or silent retreats. I want to do things that I believe are an extension of me, Bunchen says. Being a model is not really an extension of me. It's being an actress in a silent movie. At this point in her life, I don't want to be a character in anybody else's movie, and when I do that, it doesn't feel as comfortable for me anymore. Miami will be the modern family's main location going forward. Bunchen has found a waterfront home in Surfside. She's meditating through endless construction, where the kids can be close to Brady's $17 million mansion in the exclusive village of Indian Creek, where neighbors include Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner. She has yet to run into either. Miami works for me because it's literally a direct flight to Brazil, Bunchen says, where her parents and five sisters, including her twin Patricia, still live. I'm going to go more to Brazil. Bunchen often speaks Portuguese to Benny and Vivi, striving to keep them close to their heritage. 15 years of co-parenting Jack with Moynihan is helping inform how Bunchen navigates custody with Brady and sibling time for all three kids. I say to Bridget, you know, I have a great relationship with her. Bunchen pauses, then declares, everything in life comes with work. You have to go through the roller coaster. You have moments where you get to the sticky points, and you got to overcome it. Did Bunchen always have a great relationship with Moynihan? I ask, somewhat rhetorically. No, Bunchen blurts. The two women didn't meet for more than a year after Jack was born, but they eventually reached the point where Bunchen, Brady, and Moynihan mingled at the park in New York, where Moynihan is based, and the women hugged in the streets of Boston. Love conquers all, Bunchen says, of her experience with Jack and his mom. My life became so much richer because I got to learn so much from that. The primary lesson, nothing is worth fighting over. With Moynihan, my goal was always, how can I be the most helpful? How can I make it the easiest I possibly can? Bunchen reflects. I put myself in her shoes, and I was like, how can I support her? Because in the end of the day, we are team players, and how are we going to do this so Jack can have the best life? The same sports-based philosophy, of all things, now applies to Brady. We're not playing against each other, Bunchen says. We are a team, one linked forever through their children, and that's beautiful. I look back, and I have no regrets. I loved every bit of it. Bunchen and her son and daughter were, in fact, still cheering for Brady right up until what turned out to be his last game ever, if his second retirement sticks. in the wild card round of the NFC playoffs a few days before we met. The Dallas Cowboys trounced the Bucks in one of the worst postseason performances of Brady's career, but Bunchen declined to add to the pylon. It was tough, but you know what? Let's just be honest. It's a team sport, and you can't play alone, she says. I think he did great under the circumstances that he had. I mean, he had no offensive line. The whole brood is thriving, and Jack remains her bonus child. I love him so much, Bunchen says of Jack, who is quarterbacking, very much a verb in this household, with aspirations of going to his father's alma mater, the University of Michigan. Benny, who is alternately lounging with friends and studying for a math test, prefers drawing on his iPad and non-ball sports like surfing and skiing. The athletic pressure of being Brady's son led to bullying in Boston after one particular baseball game. Vivi is a tie-dye-clad aspiring horse jumper whose likeness to Bunchen is so uncanny that she can unlock her mother's face ID. Together, Bunchen, Benny, and Vivi have thrown themselves into jiu-jitsu. Jack loves it, too, but he doesn't do it as much because he's not with us as much. Practicing the martial art under the tutelage of Miami-based Brazilian brothers Pedro, Gui, and Joaquim Valenti. The family is so devoted, there's a room dedicated to it, and teachers travel with them in 4 or 5 day stints. They're all like senseis, Bunchen says, of the amazing trio's mind-body-spirit ethos. With Jack and Benny now in their teens, Bunchen questioned, how can I help them to have a person that has that level of integrity and can teach them values? For 7 years in Boston, Bunchen, a Bruce Lee devotee nicknamed Giseli by Brady, had practiced kung fu with sword and stick fighting, even doing so into her 9th month of pregnancy. Bunchen and the kids found community at the Valenti Brothers Academy. They're awesome people, she says. They have created this safe space. Pedro, the eldest, is the philosopher, while Guy is composed and calm. Then there's the youngest, Joaquim, who teaches Bunchen and her children. He has been photographed grabbing dinner with them at nearby Koji's, jogging, and splitting a set of AirPods with Bunchen and riding horses with her and a group of kids. In an Instagram reel she shared last year that has since been viewed more than 9 million times, Bunchen, in a white gi, is seen body slamming, headlocking, and generally owning a Valenti brother in the name of jiu-jitsu. Bunchen blithely elides the rumors that she and Joaquim are dating. I think at this point, unfortunately, because I'm divorced, I'm sure that they're going to try to attach me to anything, she says, of tabloid reports, before going on to emphatically praise Joaquim along with his brothers. I'm so grateful to know all of them, because not only have they helped me and helped my kids, but they have become great friends, and Joaquim especially, she says. He's our teacher. And, most importantly, he's a person that I admire and that I trust. It's so good to have that kind of energy, to have my kids around that type of energy. In their wall-less living room, Bunchen and Vivi indulge my request for a mini self-defense lesson. If an attacker were to approach me head-on, you lift your foot up and you kick with your heel, Vivi advises with utmost gravity, aiming ideally at the perp's knee. Bang, Bunchen demonstrates in slow motion. A girl took this big guy by kicking him there 3 times, Vivi adds. Joaquim told me. The mother-daughter duo quickly gets fired up. What are you going to do, Vivi, if I come and grab you? Bunchen shouts, role-playing a brute, grabbing the girl from behind. You would go like this, Vivi says, as she lunges forward and grabs her mother by the ankles. They are a tangle of lithe limbs, with the same long-toed feet, miming how she'd knock her mother off balance and throw her backward to the floor. I'm left with total confidence that Vivi could destabilize a grown man. Bunchen informs me that you can break a nose with the heel of your palm, but the goal is to never have to. What does Joachim say? Bunchen asks Vivi before answering her own question. Don't go in conflict. I tell Bunchen that jujitsu seems like a very empowering thing for women to learn. You have no idea. At 5:30 the next morning, Bunchen and Alfie and Onyx, two of her six rescue dogs, are walking toward me on the beach below her house. There's an ethereal pinkish glow on the horizon, and the completely empty shore stretches before us like a sheet of mirrored glass. It looks a little like the movie version of the afterlife. We are either living in heaven or hell, Bunchen says, shaking her head knowingly. That's very much a choice. This is Bunchen's daily ritual, where she comes to fill her proverbial cup before the children wake. She's been up since 4:30, when she rises to her Zen flute-like phone alarm, meditates, then plays a 21-minute Devi prayer while moving through some yogic asanas. I actually like to greet the sun, and I like to say goodbye to the sun every day, she says. There are so many things she wants to do in her next act. I'll give you a funny one, Bunchen tells me. One of my dreams is I want to play a superhero. I'd prepared to ask Bunchen if she wanted to act in this 2.0 phase, citing her memorable cameo in The Devil Wears Prada. I mean, imagine, I showed up for like 2 hours, and who am I in the scene with? She says, Meryl Streep, Emily Blunt, and Anne Hathaway. But no, Bunchen clarifies, she doesn't want to act. I just want to play a superhero. She laughs her hoarse laugh. Perhaps She-Ra, Princess of Power, the almighty sword-wielding, unicorn-riding superheroine seared into the hearts of 80s kids everywhere. She felt inspired when she took her son and daughter to see Wonder Woman. Can I prove to myself that we, as women, can be that strong? Why not? She says. In fashion, people used to joke with me that I was Sporty Spice because I was always the one hanging from things, doing jumping pictures. There's an ulterior motive, too. I really want my daughter to think I'm cool, to be honest. Her children are still largely oblivious to her legacy. In her native Brazil, when everyone stops me in the street, they're like, Mom, why are they doing that? She doesn't bother showing them old magazine covers. In the latest development, Bunchen stars, topless and in jeans, in the new campaign for Louis Vuitton's capsule collection with contemporary artist Yayoi Kusama, shot by her frequent collaborator, Steven Meisel. Her co-stars are a melange of the new and old guards, among them Christy Turlington, Lia Kebede, Devon Aoki, Bella Hadid, and Carly Kloss. Bunchen says she doesn't really know the It Girl catwalkers of today, your Kindles and Haleys. I was living in Boston for 13 years, she points out. Recharging Bunchen's modeling means more really big fashion moments to come, her longtime agent Ann Nelson teases. The world is her oyster. She says Bunchen has considered an activewear line that reflects her minimalist aesthetic. And Nelson has fielded a million requests for her to walk shows in Paris. They still ask, just in case she changed her mind. According to Bunchen, I never say never, because the only thing in life I am certain of is change. Bunchen's status has endured, even across the time she purposely slowed down. Recently, a seamstress informed the model that her measurements were identical to a mannequin's. Compared to eras past, there's much more age inclusivity, Nelson says, pointing to Kristen McMenemy, 58, Naomi Campbell, 52, and Kate Moss, 49, all still working. People look at these iconic models as being the ultimate muses, Nelson adds. Age doesn't even count. Bunchen has spent most of her life in fashion, but her early memories of the industry now seem twinged with trauma. The daughter of Vanya, a bank teller, and Valdir, who worked in real estate, and later became a sociologist, Bunchen was raised in a hard-working middle-class family in the southern Brazilian town of Horizontina. If Bunchen wanted a doll, she had to wait until her birthday to get it. All the girls were going over to Grandma's house, walking with bare feet on the dirt road and hanging out with the chickens, Nelson tells me. The same sort of childhood the supermodel is now trying to recreate for her children in Costa Rica. In typical sibling scuffles, Bunchen was scrappy. She had the power to end the fight, her twin sister Patricia told me via email. Still, it was difficult for Geese to grow up so thin and tall in a small city. Patricia says she felt out of place, but when the opportunity to be a model came, it felt just right. Instead of high school, 14-year-old Bunchen, already 5'9", went to Tokyo for catalog work. With five other daughters at home, Vanya couldn't join her. She was unbelievably fearless, Patricia says of her sister, leaving home at 14, by herself, not speaking English. Now, as the mom of a 13-year-old, Bunchen feels that she was catapulted into premature adulthood. I was playing with Barbies at 13 and at 14. I'm in Japan, emancipated, Bunchen ruse. Logistically, she survived. She'd helped her family cook and clean since age 7, but felt alone in the world. In her teens, she was living in notorious models' apartments in New York, surrounded by cocaine and heroin use. I saw things that were like, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, she says. I always say my guardian angels are very powerful. As is enshrined in fashion lore, Bunchen's breakthrough came in 1998, when she was 18, strutting down Alexander McQueen's spring-summer runway in the faux-falling rain, ostensibly topless in a painted-on white crop top. Her body, the body, single-handedly ended the waifish heroin chic ideal and ushered in a comparatively more curvaceous era. But she has also said that the watershed show was one of the most traumatizing moments of her life. McQueen had intended her to walk completely topless, sans paint, and scarcely speaking English, Bunchen was unable to advocate for herself. She alludes to the underbelly of the industry, the things I've seen and the situations I've escaped from just because I have faith. She trails off. Bunchen recalls dehumanizing treatment at the hands of fashion's inflated egos, although she doesn't name names. Unspeakable things said to her face. Being treated like you are an object, like you have no feelings, she remembers. You have to survive that. Her voice wavers, and her eyes again blink back tears. It's just emotional. I feel everything so deeply, and when I remember it, I feel like I'm living it again. When I ask her what she's remembering that makes her cry, she simply says how tough it was. She might have quit, but I didn't want to go back home empty-handed, Bunchen says. My parents trusted me. I wanted to show them that I could do it. I didn't want to fail. When she began to suffer panic attacks in her early 20s, she turned to yoga, meditation, and traveling more often to Costa Rica. My natural instinct was, I'm not going to be a victim of this. I'm not going to sit here and be like, why are they treating me like this? Why are they leaving me standing here naked for like 8 hours without offering me water or food? Why are they being so mean? Bunchen says. I could have been sitting there thinking, am I even worthy of anything? According to her twin, Bunchen held fast to her family values and the simplicity of her upbringing. She was never dazzled, Patricia says. Instead, Bunchen dug in her stilettos. I could have chosen to do drugs. I could have chosen to party. I could have chosen to allow the vampires that are out there to suck life out of me and use me, she says. But I came out of it. I wasn't broken. The sun is rising on the beach, which means it's time for Bunchen's daily gazing. She closes her eyes, tilts her chin up to the sky, and inhales deeply, letting its warmth beam down on her famous face. Question: are you having problems going to the bathroom or no? Bunchen is, surreally to me, inquiring as to the state of my digestive system, because it determines what ingredients she'll add to the round of morning smoothies she's making for the house. Another Daily Post beach walk post-sun salutation ritual. Bananas are more binding and papaya is more releasing, she explains, ping-ponging between a Vitamix and a Champion juicer in her kitchen before gesturing to the howling outside. You hear the monkeys? Fruits and vegetables harvested from her hillside garden legitimately excite Bunchen. She plans to share her earthy recipes in a forthcoming cookbook. My goal is to make it really simple, she says. The bounty, much of it spilling across her countertop, includes little bananas, skinny bananas, and cuadrados, a short, fat, local banana, two types of kale, soft and crispy, yuca, we make yuca chips, green peppers, we just did these peppers last night with olive oil and salt, and pitanga. Have you ever had pitanga? Bunchen proffers a cherry-like berry. The kitchen is all bustle. Bunchen pours smoothies for her kids. Jordan, one of the children's teachers, Jordan's lady, Las Chicas, two women preparing food in the kitchen, and me. She built this main house to accommodate group hangs, mainly with her big Brazilian family. The casita, though, is her sanctuary, she says, as she leads me there via short stone pathway. Hers is a magnificent she-shed, all clean blonde wood lines of her own design, flanked by banana and papaya trees, a cold plunge pool and a hot tub for one, carved into the ground outside. Her 900-square-foot little house, cum bedroom, is 100% off the grid, Bunchen says proudly, pointing to the lone light bulb dangling above a kitchen island lined in books. Titles range from the spiritual to pseudo-scientific. Neo-shamanistic author Don Miguel Ruiz, no relation. Sextrology, the astrology of sex and the sexes. Bunchen is a family-oriented homemaking cancer. The Miracle of Water by Masaru Emoto, which argues that positive words spoken to water, hope, adoration, have the power to form snowflake-like crystals in H2O, while negative speech, ugly, hopeless, creates murky ones. It's instructive for the way people speak to themselves and others, Bunchen posits, as we are mostly water. Crystals stud inside and out, including a hunk of purple amethyst and a milky selenite angel, which Bunchen says clears energy, presumably not the positive kind, sitting on her nightstand. Her bed is made in crisp white linens with an Hermes scarf featuring elegant leopards folded at the edge. Vivi has been sleeping with her lately. Above her bed hangs an oversized black-and-white aerial photo of a surfboard-wielding Bunchen dwarfed by the enormity of the ocean. From a deep drawer at her bedside, Bunchen reaches for the Kuan Yin Oracle, a collection of feminine-focused tarot-like cards centered on Buddhism's goddess of mercy and compassion. 2 days before, Bunchen pulled the card for Dynasty of the Divine Mother, which urged her to look to what is happening in your life, she reads, as incense burns on the cedar table before us, and trust that you are progressing with perfection. This is why they called me a witch, I guess, Bunchen laughs, considering the cards before us. But she is less peeved by witch talk's speculations than prepared to agree with them. If you want to call me a witch because I love astrology, I love crystals, I pray, I believe in the power of nature, then go ahead. A lapsed Catholic, Bunchen's mystical proclivities are her gospel now, one that has been a salve and a source of strength when she's needed it most. She used to believe in fairy tales, but not anymore. No one is going to come save you, Bunchen says, Never give your power away to nobody. This is your life. This is your movie. You are the director on it. After our interview, Bunchen, Vivi, and Benny jetted back to Miami, but she was still thinking about the wounded bird she helped set free in Costa Rica. A few days later, Bunchen Googled its potential meaning and sent me a screenshot. Seeing a robin encourages us to let go of the negative affecting our lives, she had circled in yellow, and embrace a new and happier place, a new and happier phase. The robin, she'd underlined, symbolizes new beginnings. Now, here's the Proust questionnaire with an illustration by Ryan McAmis. Bob Mackie, the fashion designer famous for besequining the stars from Marilyn to Cher on the importance of investing in a full-length mirror. What is your greatest extravagance? Hand embroidery, an entire hand-beaded gown. What is your favorite journey? Rome, Venice, Paris, not necessarily in that order. What is your idea of perfect happiness? A great entrance-making outfit where everyone oohs and ahs. What is the trait you most deplore in yourself? Being overly critical. When and where were you happiest? Working in a room full of gifted and talented people. Which talent would you most like to have? I would love to be able to sing, but for me, it's not a good idea. If you could change one thing about your family, what would it be? Their lack of curiosity and imagination. They never set foot in a theater or were ever interested. What do you consider your greatest achievement? Deciding at a young age what I would be as an adult. Which living person do you most admire? The Obamas. What is the trait you most deplore in others? The inability to appreciate true talent. On what occasion do you lie? I try very hard to never lie. The truth is usually obvious and will come out. Which living person do you most despise? I despise anyone who is out for themselves at the cost of others. Liars, narcissists, and maybe even politicians. If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be? I wish I could be less fussy. I find I am more so these days. Where would you like to live? New York City, again, a vibrant city full of art and creativity. What is your favorite occupation? At my drawing board very early in the morning with no disruptions. If you could choose what to come back as, what would it be? I wouldn't choose. I am happy with what I got. What is your most treasured possession? My favorite travel souvenirs. These items have been with me through the years and remind me of good times. What do you regard as the lowest depth of misery? No work, no art. The pandemic was difficult for so many artists. It was difficult for everyone. What is your most marked characteristic? Being very particular about my work. What do you most value in your friends? My closest friends have always been my clients and co-workers, their love and loyalty, not to mention their amazing talents. What is it that you most dislike? Any imitation of youth. What is your motto? Invest in a full-length mirror and take a good look. How would you like to die? I would rather not. And that was the Proust Questionnaire with Bob Mackie. This program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. I'm Nancy Jones, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service and broadcasting from its studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. Vanity Fair Part A airs via special subchannel receiver on Saturday and Sunday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Vanity Fair Part B airs via special subchannel receiver on Monday and Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Both Parts A and B are available as a podcast. Opening and closing music by Calexico. Interval selections by Mark Hoffman.